Ooh, glory to God. Amen. It's been a powerful morning thus far. And I'm always honored and happy to be able to be used by God, for it's the greatest feeling that we can ever experience in life. Amen. I want you guys to know that all of the proceeds for Vote Love is going to Shepherd's Gate. I just want you guys to know that also. They raised over $1,000 for them last year. So just so you guys know that you guys are giving to a good cause also. Amen. Yes, yes. Shepherd's Gate is a battered women's program. Amen. Without further ado, let us pray. Father, which art in heaven, I just thank you, Lord God, for an opportunity to be used by you, Lord. I pray, O Lord Jesus Christ Almighty, that you just move me out of the way, Lord God, and that you flow freely through me, O Lord Jesus Christ Almighty. Lord God, you ask, Lord God, that I feed your sheep, Lord God. I pray, O Lord Jesus Christ Almighty, that you feed your sheep through me, O Lord God. Use me, Lord God. I'm humble and I'm submitted at your feet, Lord God. For as the flower withers, Lord God, and the grass fades, Lord God, your word stands forever. Now give us a word this morning, Lord God, for we truly need you, Lord God, to get to the next moment. And in Jesus' holy and matchless name we pray, amen and amen. Amen. If everybody would please turn to 1 Samuel chapter 17. And we're going to start at verse 10. And I'm going to be skipping from throughout this passage so that we can get the full continuity of the scriptures. Amen. First Samuel chapter 17, and we're going to start at verse 10. When you have it, please say amen. Amen. And if you can, please stand for the reading of the Word of God. As it reads, "And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. When Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid." Amen. You may be seated. Now, what was happening was there was Philistines was in the land of Judah. They were positioned on an area called Soko, which belonged to Judah. So they were on the Lord's territory. Amen. And they were raging war with the Israelites. And there was the Philistines on one mountain and there was the Israelites on another mountain. And in between them was a valley. How many people know we have to go through some valleys to get to our victory? Amen. And a champion came out named Goliath. And Goliath stood 9 feet tall. And Goliath had an armor coat that was 5,000 shekels, which represented about 125 pounds. The spearhead was 15 pounds itself. He didn't even have to stab you. He could have used it as a hammer. And it took you out of the game, all right? So this Goliath came and he challenged the Israelites, the children of God, the armies of God, and he challenged them. And he said in verse 10, "And the Philistines said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together." And when Saul and the Israelites heard these words, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Now I fast forward to verse 16 where it says, "And the Philistine drew near. through fear, the enemy comes closer. He became more threatening because they were afraid of him. It said, the Philistine drew near and presented himself 40 days, morning and evening. They never confronted the giant. We see the giants in our lives day in and day out. And there's some giants in our lives that we are not confronting. But as Terrence said, we are unstoppable and we have the power within us to defeat the giant. Amen. Whether the giant be addiction, bad habits, temptations, broken relationships, or even forbidden relationships, having sex out of wedlock, homosexuality, things that we don't want to face. And we are the children of God. And God is in within us. He lives in us. He moves in us. He functions in us. And we need to know this morning that we have the power to defeat the giant. By having the giant in your life does not mean that you're cursed. Because we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We all have giants. And once we get rid of this giant, here comes another giant. But what it means is that we're living defeated in that area of our life. Even Paul said in Romans 7:15, I do not understand what I do. For what I want to do, I do not. You see, I want to apologize. I want to make amends. I want to show love. He said, but what I hate, those things I do. I hold grudges. I fight because of peer pressure. I have sex because I don't want to lose my boyfriend or girlfriend. Smoke, drink, and do drugs to fit in. These things I don't want to do. Oh, this wretched man that I am, who will free me from this body of death? Sometimes the giant is us. It's our own personal desires, and the only thing that's going to get us out of the way is God. The Bible says, I am a living sacrifice. I lay my life down. Getting back into the text, we read that it shows here that a young man named David was the youngest out of 8 boys. Jesse was his father. Jesse had 3 sons that was in the army that was facing the Philistines. So he took the young boy, David, which was on the backside of the mountains, tending to the sheep, blowing kisses unto God day in and day out. And he said, David, my youngest boy, go and see if my 3 boys are okay. Send them this cheese and send them these loaves of bread. And then take a pledge with them, which means he wanted them to come back and with the word that my 3 boys are okay. So that leads us to verse 26. When David went there, he was talking to his brothers and he saluted his brothers and he overheard the talk about Goliath. And he said, then David spoke to the men who stood by him, saying, what shall be done of the man who kills this Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? What shall be done? By you guys defeating the giants that are in your life, you become blessed by the Lord. He wants us to live an abundant life, more abundantly. If we go backwards to 25, it says, so the men of Israel have said, "Have you seen this man who has come? Surely he has come up to defy Israel. And it shall be that the man who kills him, the king will enrich with great riches." God is the king. "Will give him his daughter and give his father's house exemption from taxes in Israel." Spiritually speaking, we will become spiritually rich. We will have peace that surpasses all understanding when you defeat that giant in your life. You will have a sound mind. You will have temperance. Everything won't just set you off. You will have long suffering. You will have love. You will have kindness. You will have these things when you defeat that giant in your life. He said, "I will give my daughter to him." Your wife or your husband could be attached to you defeating those addictions, those temptations. A wise lady once said, "I don't just kick it around with any man because my husband might walk by and think that I'm married to him." You gotta be careful. You gotta sever some relationships that God didn't put you in. Amen? This is attached. And then he says, "The father's house will receive exemptions from taxes in Israel." Your father's house, your generational curses, your generational debt will be broken. Youth, I want you to know that a lot of things that you guys are facing came from a generation before you. And they're depending on you to break that curse. So the generations after you won't have to face the same thing year after year after year after year. Amen. Fathers in the house, it's up to us to break these generational curses so our children won't have to suffer like we are suffering and struggle like we're struggling. It's not about us. So he asks, David asks, he says, "What will be done for the one who kills this giant?" And his oldest brother, he overheard it. And in verse 28, he reads, "Now Eliab, his oldest brother, heard when he spoke to the men, and Eliab's anger was aroused against David." Isn't it something that when we are going through our own struggles, and we have to fight those Philistines and giants, instead of going and fighting those Philistines and giants, we take our anger instead of on them, but we put it on the youngest. We put it on the children. Because we're going through it that day. We're having a terrible day. And then next thing you know, our kid asks us a question that may be a little bit out of line, but then we flash on them. We're taking our anger out on him, but we need to be putting that energy into getting into our prayer closet and going to somebody who can do something about the struggles that we're going through. So then when I do meet up with my youth or my child, then I can come at him correctly and in love and in the way that my God wants me to come at him. So then he can see the God in me. And then when he sees the God in me, he can turn to the God and say, "I want the same relation as my dad has, as my mom has, as my grandmother has." Amen. They need to first see the God in us. We can't depend on the youth leaders to show the God to our kids. We have to do it ourselves. He said, "Why did you come down here?" That's a good question. He said, "And with whom have you left those few sheep?" Earlier it said that David left them with a sheep keeper in the wilderness. He says, "I know your pride. I know your insolence of your heart, for you have come down to see the battle." Ladies and gentlemen, David did not come down to see the battle. David came down to fight the battle. And I know that there's some teenagers in here who didn't just come to church on this morning to see the battle, but they came over here that they might slay some giants, that they may lay their problems down at the altar and kill those giants in their life. There's some youth in here on this day who's standing up for the army of Israel. Unstoppable. They ain't come here to play church. There's some youth, some teenagers in here who came to fight this battle. You notice that the Philistine came out 40 days and 40 evenings. You notice that the Israelites walked around the mountain for 40 years. It's a probationary period. We got to stop labeling our teens lazy, and we got to stop labeling our teens irresponsible, disrespectful, and saying that they just don't care. We got to start calling them giant killers. We must acknowledge that there's a giant in their life, but realize that through Jesus Christ, they will slay those giants. We can treat them with generalization or observation. So we can generalize their whole character upon the happenstance that they did negatively. They didn't clean up their room this day, so we label them, we generalize them as being lazy. But what we need to do is operate in observation. See, when a tailor has a client, a suit tailor, he allows the client to come into his shop and he puts a suit on him and he makes sure that he measures him. But if that client leaves for a month and he comes back, he doesn't just generalize his size to what he was before, but he takes new measurements. He's constantly observing which size and which measuring it is. So when he does put a suit on him, he could put a suit on him that suits him. So we need to continue. See, what happens when we generalize our children, they may be lazy one day, but then when they do a good deed, we don't celebrate it. Because we generalize them. But we need to observe them. And when they do something positive, we need to celebrate it. Celebrate it and let them know that we're in this thing with you. So we see that David, after that in 29, he says, and David said, what have I done now? Is there not a cause? Then he turned towards another and said the same thing. What David did was he believed. When you believe that you can slay that giant in your life, you will face opposition. That's the word, opposition. I remember when I first said to all my buddies, I was like, nah, I ain't smoking weed today. I'm good. I quit. I'm done. Next thing you know, everybody had weed for free. It was coming at me left and coming at me right. And I was like, what's going on? And the funny thing is when I finally gave in, my boy said, I knew you couldn't do it. I knew you was one of us. Because when people can't slay their giants, they don't want you to slay the giant because they feel like you're going to be above them. He was observing me the whole time. Everybody, they're watching you. If you slay those giants, they don't want you to. But if you slay those giants, they will follow you. And they will believe that they can slay the giant also. Watch what happened in 33. So everybody heard that David said that I'll fight the giant. David was ready. He was just a youth, but he said, I'll fight the giant. Everybody heard him, and then they took him to Saul. Here, Saul was the king of that time. So they took him before Saul. And Saul said to David, you are not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him. For you are a youth, and he is a man of war from his youth. You don't need anybody in your life that's going to glorify your opponent. You can't surround yourself with people that think that your opponent is going to defeat you. That's what the church and that's what the body of Christ is about. It's for exhortation. so that we can place ourselves around people who is going to encourage us that through Christ Jesus, you can defeat that. I know you fell to addiction this day, but come on back to church. Get some more word in you. Repent to God. Wipe yourself off and get back in the race. Amen. You need people, right? Not people that's going to be like, I told you so. And then started to generalize you from your fall. You need people who are going to be like, get up. You confess Jesus as your Lord and Savior. The Holy Spirit lives in you. God lives in you. Do you not know that you are the temple of God and God dwells in you? God is in you. What giant, what uncircumcised Philistine could take you out of the game when you have God in you? They carried the ark, nothing happened to them. Because they had the ark and it represented the presence of God. God dwells in us. Do we understand that darkness flees when the light comes into the room? We have the power. Then David replied, your servant has killed both lion and bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them. Seeing he has defied the armies of the living God. Why did he do it? He covered his leadership. The armies of the living God represents every parent and every parent figure in here. And the Philistine defiled them. And he was saying that since my leadership won't fight you, I'm going to go and fight you. Since my leadership ran for 40 days and 40 nights, I'm going to step up to the plate. Because my leadership represents the kingdom of God. The enemy, the Philistines, can't have our children. We are the leadership. We are the armies of the living God. They can't have BET, MTV, Hollywood, drugs, violence, homosexuality, California, the US of A. They cannot have our children. Sometimes it's hard when your kid walks right past you, but we got to put our pride down and we got to give them a hug. We got to talk to them. Sometimes it's hard because the communication barrier is in between us. And we got to put our pride down and just break down that communication barrier. Because Pastor said the lack of communication leads to separation. But we need to get closer to our teens because they're fighting giants just like we're fighting giants. We got to get in there with them. Put our pride aside. Who cares what we look like? Sometimes it seems like they're taking our kindness for a weakness. But as long as the light is in the building, the darkness must flee. So give them a great hug because the light is inside of you. They need the love. Sometimes they run. Why did the girls run away from the boys on the playground? Because they wanted the boys to chase them. Sometimes the youth wants you to chase them a little bit. Dig a little bit deeper. They need the parents. We need family. This unity in the household has to come first before he can get unity in the body of Christ. The house must be in order. Amen. So we got to fight to get our house in order. The armies of the living God. Fight. And I'm gonna close with just 37. He says, moreover, David said, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the Philistine. And Saul said to David, go, and the Lord be with you. To all the youth that's in here, because this is Youth Sunday, I was talking to you. I wanted to talk to the parents a little bit, but really to the youth. As long as God is for you, nothing could be against you. Every giant that's in your life represents something that's out of the will of God. Fight them. Win. Overcome it. The Holy Spirit is in you just like the Holy Spirit is in your parents. When you guys proclaimed Jesus as your Lord and Savior, God came into you. And it wasn't like he gave you a little piece of him and gave me a big piece. No, the same God that's in me indwells in you. You just got to stir him up. That's why the Bible says, stir up the gift which is inside you by the laying on of the elders of the church. Amen. Be obedient to Christ and know that you guys have the power. You guys are in circumstances. You guys are. If you notice, and I'm going to take you here. I'm going to tell you, when David finally went to fight the giant, when he finally went to fight the Philistine said, verse 43. So the Philistine said to David, am I a dog that you come at me with sticks? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And right before that, number 42, I'm sorry. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was only a youth, ruddy and good looking. The giants are after the parents. The giants are after Terrence. Terrence is going in the enemy lines. The giants are after our mother's board. They're after the seasoned Christian. So we need the youth to go in the back door and conquer the giants in your school. Conquer the giants in your athletic organizations. Because he's distracted by us. We're working over here. Go over there and slay some giants and tell your friends about Jesus and about who he is. Start inviting them to church. He wasn't looking for the youth to come. He didn't want to fight the youth. He wanted to see, because he has so much pride, give me somebody that's a challenge. But he just didn't know that the Holy Spirit was in David. Just as much as it's not about how big you are. It's not about your age, your size. It's about God being with you. As long as you stay in the will of God, you can defeat any giant. Period. Walk with him. My final points. Number one, David confronted his giants. He acknowledged there was a problem. He didn't just run from them and he didn't just look past them. First, you have to acknowledge that there is a problem of sin in your life. David realized, number two, that there was no one who could fight his battles but him through Christ. It's up to you. We can't live off of our parents' salvation. And number three, David knew his generation and their future was attached to him killing the Goliath in his life. Those people around you guys that you guys love, their lives are attached to you killing and destroying the giants that are in your life. It's not all about us. And number four, God got so much glory because of the size of the giant and the unqualified boy who slayed him. No matter how big your giant is, the bigger your giant is, the better. When he gets slayed, God will get all of the glory. And they'll be like, how did he pull you up from the pit that you were laying in? And you will say, because of Jesus Christ. And that'll glorify him all the more. Amen.
Amen. Yeah, give him glory. Everybody rest to your feet.